Kobe Anderson, and I'm going to bring to you a message for the communion. Now, so I've been studying, me and some of our friends here, we've been studying the book of Hebrews, and there's just so much in there. So we're going to look at a scripture, but it's going to be kind of more of an introduction. So I hope that you guys spend some time, you know, I'm looking at some of the scriptures that we're going to put up here on your own, because there's just no way to do it justice in 5-6 minutes. All right? So I guess, have you ever asked the question, why the Old Covenant and why the priesthood, why the 600 plus laws? I know that I've asked that question many times. So to let you know, I'm from Gen X, and we were a woefully unsupervised generation, right? I mean, latchkey kids. We literally had keys around our necks that we would bring to go to school, because we would open our doors. There was nobody home, right? So our parents were by and large hippies, right? You know, the family structure was kind of blown up. We watched what we wanted. We went where we wanted. We did what we wanted. I'll give you an example. At 7 years old, I don't know if I've told you this before, but I would take 2 buses across town in a major city, right, in Vancouver, walk half a mile on each end. And, you know, so, I mean, that was just what we needed to do in the situation that we were in. And I'll give you kind of the flip side, and I did ask for his permission. So an example is my son, when he was 10 years old, Caleb, I left him alone for 10 minutes. 10 minutes, maybe 15. And, you know, I'd asked his permission before, and he told me no. And, you know, because I was bringing his sister and his brother to school or something like that, and for some reason I couldn't bring him with me, and I don't remember what the reason was, and he lost it. And I just said, you're inside our house. The doors are locked. Like, you're not going anywhere. Nobody's coming. And if they come, I left him, like, he had a phone. I mean, I was just like, come on, you know, you're going to be okay for these next 10 minutes. And in fact, the law even says that I can leave you alone for even more than that. And we looked it up. And he didn't talk to me for 2 days. But we are, I think that we are in need of supervision. So for 1,500 years, Israel looked to the high priests, who descended from Aaron, as mediators between them and a holy God. They offered sacrifices to God so Israel could draw near to him. But why this priesthood? Why the law? And how does Jesus fit into this narrative? So part of it is supervision and preparation. And yes, Jesus was a king from the line of David. But how was he a priest? Scripture up. So enter Melchizedek. So if you guys have never read about Melchizedek, he's only in 3 books of the Bible that mention him. He's in Hebrews, Genesis, and Psalm 110. And even in Hebrews 5, 6, and 7. So there's a lot there. And in the verse that you have in front of you, it says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus is gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus goes behind the curtain into the most holy place, and then actually, to be honest, when he died, he tore that curtain in half, right? So that we were able to have this full, complete, unfettered access to God. But he is a high priest from a different line than Aaron. And if you were to look in Genesis 14, 18 through 20, and actually the entire book of chapter of Genesis 14, we really don't have time to go there. But, you know, what happens is Abram, before he becomes Abraham, he rescues his nephew Lot from a coalition of 5 different kings. And on his way back, he encounters Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is known as king of Salem, and also, which means, which is basically Jerusalem, and which means peace. And he's also known as, his name means king of righteousness. And so he's the king of righteousness, he is the king of peace, and he's also a priest. And he's a priest of the Most High God. And what's interesting about this is that all of this predates Aaron and Moses. So this happened way before Aaron and Moses. And it shows to me, bolsters my faith, because it just shows me that God had a plan even way before he even started with the Aaronic priesthood. And what's amazing about this is that he blesses Abraham, or Abram, signifying that he's greater than Abram. He gifts him, he serves him, he even gives him bread and wine, which I think is kind of apt. And Abram is so impressed with him that he gives him a tenth of everything, and that's where we get our whole idea of tithing. And then, if you look in Psalm 110, you don't have to go there either, but read it, note it down. You know, it's a Psalm of David, and David calls this priest-king his Lord, who is honored by God himself. And of him, the psalmist writes, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So this king-priest from the line of David is like Melchizedek in that he's a high priest forever. And again, kind of what's amazing about this is that, you know, consider Jesus. This is a permanent office. And he's the high priest who doesn't die. He's the high priest who offered his perfect sacrifice once forever. And it reminds me that we need that mediator for us to approach God. God, he is loving. God, he is kind, but he's also holy. And because of Jesus, this priest, this king in the order of Melchizedek, you know, we who are a mess, number one, you know, when you think about that, we can draw near to God and a father in a way that was never before possible. Without fear, without limit, in a perfect way, forever, complete, blameless, holy. And what does this do for me? It makes me grateful. It creates in me a desire not to take this access for granted and dare to get closer to my Father, Father from the heavens. Let's pray for our communion. Father, we thank you for you making a way and for you having a long-lasting, everlasting plan to draw us near to you in a way that could never happen through the blood of sheep and goats. God, we're grateful for your once forever sacrifice that we see in Jesus. We pray for this bread and this juice that symbolizes your broken body and the broken body of Jesus and his blood that was shed. And we're grateful for all of that. We thank you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.